Sunday with Miriam on RTE Radio 1 with It's for Women. The car insurance with extra benefits like personal accident cover.
Now, earlier in the programme today, we heard Tony and Luke perform the Beatles track, Two of Us. And now a new book, The Lyrics, 1956 to the present, sees Sir Paul McCartney, considered one of the greatest songwriters of all time, look back on his life and how he wrote some of the world's most famous songs. It was written over 5 years in conjunction with the Pulitzer Prize-winning Irish poet and academic Professor Paul Muldoon, who describes it as close to an autobiography as we may ever come. And Paul Muldoon joins me now from New York. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning. What a joy to be with you.
Oh, what a joy to have you, Paul. Oh, when I saw you doing this, I thought I was delighted it was you, but what a gig. What an absolute dream gig. How did it come about?
Well, it came about, by chance, as many of, at least I think it was by chance. You know, I have a friend, Robert Weil, who was the editor of this book. He's the editor-in-chief at Liveright. And I had done a book for Liveright. I had done an intro to The Wasteland. So I was at an opera one night with Bob Weil. We went to see Don Carlos at the Met. Don Carlos by Verdi is one of these operas that is just, it's about 5 hours long, something like that. It is at least three intermissions. And I think during intermission one, he mentioned the fact that he had been hoping for a few years to do a book with Paul McCartney. In this case, he wanted to do a book based on the lyrics with commentaries. And, you know, one way or another, he was talking about who might do it. Well, let's put it like this. By the time the night was over, we had figured out that I might be the person.
Wow. How did you feel? Because you're such a music fan and you are so musical yourself. When he said this to you, how did you feel?
You know, what can one say? I mean, Paul McCartney is a hero, and, he's been part of the lives of, I suppose, anybody really who has been semi conscious since roughly speaking 1960 or the early 60s in any case. I'm such an idiot that had I thought about it, I probably wouldn't have done it. But as a person who doesn't really think much about what it might all mean, I sort of embarked on it quite gaily, and it turned out to be really a terrific adventure. It was so much fun. And we spent about over a period of 5 years, not every day of the week, obviously, but maybe five or six times a year we met over the past 5 years. And on each occasion, we sat down for usually 3 hours and we discussed in detail the background to half a dozen lyrics in each case. And over those 5 years, we worked our way through 154 of them.
I think many people are fascinated by him. Can you remember when you first met him, actually, to talk about this? Was he as you expected, Paul, or was he different? What was he like?
The first thing I would say about him, in my experience, is that he is a very upbeat person. He's possibly the most upbeat person I've ever met. And then there are a few contenders for that. The word I've used a couple of times, and I'll use it again because I can't think of a better one, is joyous. He's a joyous person. He is a life-affirming person. He's had his trials and tribulations in life like the rest of us. But, starting early on with the death of his mother when he was 14, but he seems to be able, despite everything that assails us collectively as humans, he manages somehow to take a brightish view of things, you know? I don't mean by that that he's a person who sticks his head in the sand, but I think he will see the upside in things, and I think that actually comes across in his songs and may even be one of the things that have made people so happy.
Absolutely.
To be listening to his songs.
I mean, you mentioned, you know, the fact that he lost his mother, Mary, when he was just 14. And talking about the songs, remind us about Let It Be, Paula, and the fact that it was a dream. He told you about that.
He believes in dreams. He believes in being inspired, that what for many people, particularly in these days, is thought to be a kind of old-fashioned way of thinking about art. But he certainly falls into the category of the person who first of all, it will very happily say that he does not know what he's doing when he's sitting down to write a song. And, you know, that I think is a mark of many great artists. I mean, the thing about himself and John Lennon, and I think his practice today probably, you know, falls in with this, is that they gave themselves a time limit. They would sit down for a couple of hours together, that wonderful image of one of them mirroring the other, one of them left-handed, one right-handed, the two guitars and the notebook. And they vowed pretty much not to leave the room without something to show for it. You know, there's in a sense, there's an element of will there, right? Mm. But it's will that is at the service of inspiration.
The song about his mum, Paul, Let It Be, he spoke to you beautifully about that. He spoke about her being sort of saintly. And remind me of what he said to you about that song, Let It Be, about his mum.
Well, you know, that obviously, the death of a mother at any stage in one's life is going to be a major moment. I mean, what can one say? And I think the death of a mother, you know, when one's 14, that's young, very young to lose one's mother. His mother was an interesting person. She was a nurse and she was a midwife, in fact, and she moved around. They moved around a little bit because they always got a decent house to live in as the new estates opened up around Liverpool. And that impacted him in many ways. I mean, including the sense that he was always on the edge of, often on the edge of town. And his sense of the countryside was just next door. The kind of estate entered the country began. The other thing that his mother instilled in him was the ability, for example, he's very funny about this. He says at one point he was the only kid in his school who could spell phlegm. And, but she was a very composed person. And I think the notion of Let It Be, you know, there's a religious component to it. It's a version of Amen. And there was a sense of, I think, a kind of resignation that his mother displayed that I think carries over into that song, you know? And obviously, you know, it's a mix of his own experience, childhood experience, and something of the, you know, religious iconography, Catholic iconography in particular, with Mother Mary.
And of course, when the band was formed, Paul, they were so young. Tell me about their visit to McCartney's cousin's house on the Isle of Wight. Even Beatle nerds might know about this.
They had no money, of course, and they were kids, as you say. I mean, it's astonishing. In the case of Ride on the Isle of Wight, they visited, they did a lot of hitchhiking around the country, and including a trip to Ride, and it lies behind the song, to some extent, Ticket to Ride, with the play on R-Y-D-E in the Isle of Wight. And of course, R-I-D-E. So lots of fun and games. I mean, they loved language. Paul McCartney loved language, loves language. John Lennon, also a great punster. And they delighted in language. And I mean, that's one of the reasons why they're so great. And they loved the fun that one may have with language. They loved nonsense.
And you mentioned John Lennon there. This book, lots of people reviewing it, and it's been brilliantly reviewed, but that it offers the frankest portrait yet of Paul McCartney's, I suppose, relationship with John. What did he tell you of that relationship? He spoke about it quite a lot, didn't he, Paul?
Well, he did. I mean, in a word or two, I think, you know, Paul McCartney is, I suspect, I mean, I've not done any kind of scientific survey of this, but I think over the years, you know, the idea of the Beatles breaking up, you know, which was a blow to everybody, because I think we all, you know, everybody, again, who was demi-conscious at the time, had a sense that, you know, this was a band that could really continue to do extraordinary work. So, I mean, I think everyone felt a little bit troubled and saddened to think that it's like, you know, when you know a couple of people who seem to be happily married and, you know, one day they're not, and you think, my God, you know, what does that mean? It's very hard to take in. And I think over the years, partly because of Paul McCartney's lawsuit having to do with the rights to the Beatles songs, I think that has kind of been conflated somehow with the idea that he himself was the mover in breaking up the Beatles. And what comes across here is really the sense that John Lennon was, in a strange way, that he sounds like a kid, you know, who's sort of decided, well, I'm going to break up the Beatles. And certainly that's the version of it we have here, that he was the mover there. And I think Paul McCartney was very hurt by that. And but anyway, one way or another, over the years, and thank heavens before we lost John Lennon, their relationship seemed to be back on something of an even keel. And, you know, they certainly got together in New York. And, you know, there was a relationship there, which, again, you know, I think it makes us all happy. Again, it's like there's part of our family, aren't they?
Mm.
You know, they are part of our lives in a strange way. And McCartney continues to be part of our lives, I think. So anyway, the thing that comes across really, and I've said this to him, we were talking about it the other day, we did an event on the Royal Festival Hall.
Yeah, I watched it online.
Oh, you did? Yes. Yeah. Well, you know, one of the things that comes across, and I think we were just sort of confirming it on that occasion, was his love for John Lennon.
And actually, it was so obvious how well you got on, the two Pauls. It's nearly 1,000 pages, this book. It's so worth reading. And, you know, for anyone interested in the songs like Eleanor Rigby, Abbey Road, 8 Days a Week, you know, there are explanations from where they all came from. Before I let you go, Paul, there was one lovely thing, wasn't it? Didn't he surprise some of your students and come into one of your classes?
Yes. I teach at Princeton. I teach, among other things, I teach a course called How to Write a Song, usually with someone else who knows a bit more about it than I do. Bridget Kearney at the moment, because I, you know, at the end of the day, well, if Paul McCartney says he doesn't know what he's doing, what are the rest of us going to say? but in any case, it's a course where it was last spring, it was done by Zoom, and we had 32 students in that particular course. So each of them came in to present a song that they had written, the words and music, and actually recorded. Usually they come in and do it live in a little theatre where we teach the course. But in this case, one of the upsides of the Zoom era, there are a few downsides of the Zoom era, but one of the upsides was that Paul McCartney showed up in the class to critique their songs. And needless to say, I didn't tell them that he was coming in, which would have been a terrible mistake. So he showed up, but, you know, I mean, it's an indicator of the kind of guy he is. Or, you know, in each case, he actually began the conversation by commenting on the song that he just heard, giving notes on it.
Wow.
Talking about what he had liked about it, maybe areas that could do with a little revisiting. And He was great. And one of the things that came across in this case was that he has said a couple of times that had he not become a Beatle, as it were, he might more likely than not would have become an English teacher. And that certainly was very clear from this episode.
Oh, it's such a lovely story. Paul, I could talk to you forever, not just about Paul, but also about yourself and your own work, but I can't. Just to say, that book, it's called The Lyrics, 1956 to the Present, by Paul McCartney with Paul Muldoon, published by Random House, is out now. It's a beautiful book. Paul, thanks so much. Next time you're home in Ireland, come and visit us.
I would love to do that. Thank you so much.